Okay, if you can kneel where you're at, please do so. We're going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for blessing us with truth. We thank you for the scriptures that lead us into this truth. And we understand that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so we thank you for blessing our faith as well. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins and cleansing us from unrighteousness. And thank you for keeping us safe with that hedge of angels that you have about us, even while we're sleeping. We thank you for that. And Father, we pray that your spirit is about us as you promise it is, when you stated that whenever two or more are gathered, that you're in our midst. And we pray that our tongues are bridled so that only your words come forth and only you are glorified. Thank you for blessing all those on our prayer list and for all the answered prayers and even the trials and trips that help us grow closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, now I am numbering or setting these up a little different because prophecy is something I like a lot. and so what I'm going to do is I'm going to try and get these particular studies on the site a lot quicker. And I'm going to date them, I'm going to have them set up per section, so people can read along with us. Well, they'll be right there in the room. That's right. If this website, this Preparing for Eternity website, is hey Josh, if this Eternity website is going to be on there for years and they don't archive this stuff, whenever anybody comes into this recording, they're going to see this stuff popping up in the room. The only problem is when new people come in. We don't jump it up. We'll just put the link in the room when new people come in. That's why if they want to catch up, they can just click the link rather than, it doesn't really matter, though, when you're reading along if it jerks up because we always mention the numbers. So I guess we can go in alphabetical order so that we don't confuse anybody. Who all has a microphone and who all is going to speak? If you want, I can turn the bubbles off on the people that don't have microphones. That way we won't be confused as to who is going to speak next, if you all want. All right? Okay, Sunray has no mic, and so boom, audio's turned off on Sunray. No disrespect intended. It's just a little helper for us. Oh, yeah, go ahead there, Angie. Hold on. Now, Josh is Josh, different person altogether. Go ahead, Angie, if your mic is ready. Hit the control button, Angie. Just hold down the control button on the keyboard because I didn't see the bubble come up at all. Well, that's strange. Never seen that happen before. What about Alt-L? Try Alt-L. Hold down the Alt key and tap the L key and see if that turns on the mic. Try it now. It doesn't appear to be working. There you go. Now hold the Alt down, tap the L just one time, then let go, and let go of the Alt button too. It should lock the mic down. And then when you want to turn the mic off, do the same thing. Just hold Alt, tap L, and that shuts it off. So try it.
Okay, how's that? Is it working? Can you hear me? Oh, good. Thanks, Nick. We moved twice this summer, so we had that unhooked, and I just plugged it back in, and I just want to make sure it works. So I'm game with you guys. Thanks. Oh, how do I get it off when I click the mic? It won't come off anymore.
Just hit Alt-L again. Don't click the microphone on the bottom of the screen. The microphone on the bottom and the speaker on the bottom, this is the old, this is the original audio chat that we bought in the first place. And so it won't work that way. Later on, they made it to where if you click the mic, it would turn on the mic. Now, if you click the mic, it opens up the dialog box to program the mic. So, anywho, who else has no mic? Just me. Anybody else? And Lil. Wait, hold on. I can't turn the mic off on leave a message because it's a moderator. It doesn't have a mic. At the stairs, that's the family. They're not going to be doing it, and WTPR, of course, won't, so I'll turn those off. Okay, now I'm just shutting off the audio. That way the text will still work for them. Like, so I take it Matt, Lynn, Randy, Mixed Girl. You got a mic? I didn't think she had a mic. I don't even know if she's near the computer. She's got a mic. We heard her singing. That's right, yeah. She sang that song. Duh. So, Matt, is Matt around? Well, anyway, let's just move on. If they're not, we'll find out. And Ray fell out and didn't make it back in yet. Hold on, I'm having a problem here. Then, well, who wants to go? Well, yeah, Angie, could you go first? Just number one.
Okay. Why were the sacred writings given? For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Romans 15:4.
By what means is all Scripture given? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. What is profitable? It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Second Timothy 3:16.
All right. Number four, how was the prophecy given? For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. 2 Peter 1:21. And all of these are my favorites that give you the knowledge that Scripture is the Word. A couple of my favorites, anyway. Number five, what is the Lord able to do regarding the future? Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. In Isaiah 42:9.
Am I confused, or did we just go out of order there? Hey, go ahead, Chrissy.
Number six, how far-reaching is God's ability to reveal the future? Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done. Isaiah 46:9-10. Do I read the notes?
Yeah, if you want to.
In contrast with this, note the following confessions of a noted modern historian as to man's inability to reveal the future. History has yet made so slight progress toward the scientific basis that she is able to foretell nothing that is to be hereafter. As to the future, she is stone blind. There is not a philosopher in the world who can forecast the historical evolution to the extent of a single day. The historian is as completely dumb before the problems of 1895 as a charlatan weather prophet ought to be with respect to the meteorological conditions of the next season. The year will come and go. It will fulfill its purpose in the great calendar of man life. Its events and issues will be evolved with scientific exactitude out of antecedent conditions. But no man living can predict what the aspect and event will be. The tallest son of the morning can neither foretell nor foresee the nature of what is to come in the year that already stands knocking at the door. Knowing all things, the future is present with God. More, perhaps, than any other thing, the prophecies of the Bible and their fulfillment bear witness to its divine inspiration.
Amen. And that's one of the things that, when I was a kid, growing up in a Catholic household and high school, psychics were all the rage. You know, I mean, we had this one woman that lived across the street from the church, and she was we had to call her Madam or something like that. I knew her son. You know, we hung out once or twice, no big deal. It was, but she always had this palm reading neon sign in her window. And everybody thought it was all the rage to be able to see the future. And I guess that might have been one of the things that sparked my interest in prophecy when I was a kid. But I found out pretty quickly that as a Catholic at that time, reading the prophecies of Catholic priests and so-called prophets like Nostradamus, that nobody could explain what was going to happen in the future. But I started to look into the church itself to figure out, and even the priests couldn't do it. They couldn't help me there. But the thing that amazed me is I found it from somebody in the church or a priest or something like that. They told me that there is prophecy in the Bible that is accurate. But being a Catholic, you didn't want to pick up a Bible. You would prefer to pick up a book that a priest wrote that explained the Bible, you know? And by the way, that's one of the reasons you see what's going on with the SDA church today, with these situations that are going on with people putting the Bible down to see what man has to say about it instead, like with preachers. And, you know, they'll even put Ellen White in a certain position that she preferred not to be in. She always said to point back to the scripture, you know, to go back there. But anyway, when I finally got out of the Catholic Church and I found out that the Bible actually has, prophecy that was 100% accurate, I was just floored when I found that out. I thought that was one of the most amazing things to me. And that's, you know, in actuality, that's what got me out of the church, because the last year and a half, the main thing that I was studying on was to shut these people up that kept telling me I was in the church of Antichrist and I was headed to hell. So I was going into the prophecies to prove them wrong and say, look, it can't be the Catholic Church, because I know this is the one true church. And so I just dug into the prophecies that they kept preaching from, you know. Sure enough, man, they were right, you know. And it was Baptists. I don't know if I can remember any Seventh-day Adventists, but I remember Baptists and Pentecostals. Well, not so many Pentecostals until later, but it was mostly the Baptists. They used to come around with the white shirt and the black tie and the black slacks and, you know, door-to-door kind of a thing, you know. But anyway, who was next? Who, Christy just read, and so you got Lynn. Okay.
Okay. Number 7. To whom does God reveal the secrets of the future? Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. Amos 3:7.
I thank God for that, because they wrote it down. You know, they wrote it down, and that's what's helping us in today's world. Matt, if you're there, you got a mic? You want to take the next question, number 8? Oh, we're, you can probably see, if you scroll down to number 8, you'll see that we're reading a question, and then we answer it with the scriptures that's listed underneath it. And if the Lord moves you to share anything in regards to it, go for it. Otherwise, just let the next person read on. And if it's a real short one, you could do 2 in a row if you want.
To whom do the things which have been revealed belong?
Yeah, everybody had their speakers up because Lynn just talked. Her mic is kind of low, and then he comes flying in there. So to whom do the things which have been revealed belong? And if you want to read the verse after that, Deuteronomy 29:29, it's yours to read if you want.
The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever.
I ever notice how and this is one of the reasons that gets a lot of people in trouble, like with that World's Last Chance website and the friends that he's messing with when they got all these strange new theories and new, you know, supposedly new light. I can understand new light as long as it's line upon line, precept upon precept, and it glorifies that which has already been written. But when this so-called new light is telling us that Jesus Christ is no longer considered to be God and the Holy Spirit does not exist, now wait a second, that can't be new light. That's old darkness, because that's the new light is going to match up with what's already been written. And so the secret things, the things we can't figure out, we just assume, I look at the scriptures as a need-to-know basis. In other words, if I need to know it, he's going to tell me. And there's a lot of stuff in the scriptures I don't understand. And I know a lot of us don't understand. And when we get to heaven and we're in eternity for a couple of trillion years, we're still going to be learning stuff, because it's designed that way for us to learn throughout eternity from that Bible. Now, when I say I don't understand, it could be a number of things. Just like when you say you don't understand, or you know, it might be that you just plain don't understand, or you haven't gotten to that reality in your life or your walk yet where that's been revealed to you. You know, it's just like the word hearing and heard in the scriptures. Hearing, of course, meaning hearing, and heard meaning understanding. And so I praise the Lord that He burned it in my mind early on in my walk to figure, look, if it's not covered in scripture, I am not going to be banging my head against some cinder blocks trying to figure this stuff out. There's a reason He didn't tell us, and I'm moving on. I've got enough studies to deal with to have to figure out things that aren't written in here, because if I try to figure out stuff that's not in here, I'm trying to guess God. I'm trying to second guess Him. And so, I have to agree with that. Well, of course we're going to have to agree with it, Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which He already revealed to us, that's ours, and we can run with it.
And, you know, no matter what, pray for Him to reveal you the things by the power of the Holy Spirit. In His time, not yours, you know. He will do that one way or another. No matter what, he'll tell you in a different perspective, or a perspective that will let the scripture jump out at you, and you'll be able to keep it in your head. That's why there's so many scriptures, and things are told the same thing is told so many different ways, you know. And hey, I think it's another reason we have four gospels: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They all tell the same story in different ways, because God's children have four basic personality types. And that's exactly, I think, why there are four scriptures.
Yeah, that is interesting, because what's important to John isn't important to Matthew, and the same thing with Luke and, Mark. Wow, for a minute there, I forgot that name. It's better to go Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That way you got it in order, you know. But, sometimes you just don't, case in point, how many of us were born, and the first time we were able to speak said, Jesus is Lord. I don't think any of us in here did that. We grew to a certain point and to a certain education, if you will, or our brains gotten to a certain point where we can understand reality. We finally figured out who He was and what he's been doing in our life. And then we accept Him as Lord and Savior. And then, of course, the rest is history, or the rest is His story. Anyway, what's the next one here? Number 9. What testimony did the Apostle Peter bear concerning his experience on the Mount of Transfiguration? Here, let me read that. What testimony did the Apostle Peter bear concerning his experience on the Mount of Transfiguration? Okay. 2 Peter 1:16 says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables." I like that. In other words, this wasn't just a bunch of fol-de-rol some messages some guy, like a salesman, had a pretty good, you know, story to tell, and it just kept me on edge, and I really got in. No, we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. In other words, we ain't making this stuff up. We saw this happen. And that is, I like that, though, that we haven't followed cunningly devised fables. You know, cunningly devised, because that's how they do it. Yeah, they absolutely had validity of their testimony. They had absolute truth, you know. All right, who goes after me? Oh, Randy, I think. Number 10. Yeah, maybe the mixed girl, yeah, because Randy went out of turn. But if she's not ready yet, that's fine too, you know, it doesn't matter. Randy or Mix, whoever's good to go. Number 10.
Well, I guess so. Let's give Mix a warning next time. did she sing earlier? Did I miss that? Oh, my. I can't believe I missed that. Who sang early? Sunday? Oh. Let's see, where were we at? Number 10? When did he say he saw the majesty of Christ and heard the voice from heaven? And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. Verse 18.
Can you hear me? Number 11. How does he emphasize the reliability of prophecy? And he have the word of prophecy made more sure. Verse 19, RV, now more confirmed. What is that word? Bruce Rhodes translation?
Now, there's a tongue twister. Boothroyds? It's kind of like thyroids. But how does he emphasize the reliability? It's made more sure. Now more confirmed. In other words, like the revised version would say, now more confirmed. But prophecy is sure. It's absolute. You can't change it. That's why, you know, like a lot of times I'll mention on the site in numerous areas, and because I, you know, for two reasons. Number one, the government's reading the website. I know I've got the demographics on who's hitting, and a lot of it has a, you know, GOVT at the end of it. And the other reason is for those people out there to think they got to do something about this, you know, like with what Bush is doing or what the Pope is doing, you know, get out there and pick it, you know? Dun, dun, dun. But to go out there and pick it would make no sense. It'd be like you're trying to fight against God. You can't stop it. The prophecy is made more sure. It's going to happen. You can't stop it. The only thing you can do is get your house ready. So if you're going to pick it out in front of people's houses, telling them it's time to get ready because of what they're doing in D.C. or what they're doing in the Vatican, you know, over there in Rome or Vatican City on the Seven Hills. Who's next here? Angie.
Okay, number 12. What admonition is therefore given? Whereunto ye do well, that ye take heed, as unto a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your heart. Verse 19.
A lamp shining, I like that, until the day star arise in your heart, until it clicks or makes sense, or until you grab it, until the day dawn. You know, like I said, when we were born, we didn't come out saying Jesus is Lord. There was a day that dawned on us, you know, the truth dawned on us one day. You know, you've all heard the saying, it finally dawned on me.
What has ever been the theme of God's prophet? Am I on the right question? You can't hear me? Can you hear me now? No? Yes? Yes. Okay. What question are we on? Okay. Hold on.
Yeah, it's just, you are kind of low, kind of like with Lynn, and you got the microphone too close to your mouth, and every time you speak, it's kind of distorting your words, too. Matt, can you send me an email on that stuff you just put in the room about the lobbyists? Because they can, by law, do this now because of March 7th, year 2000. They made all the churches in the United States of America that have a 501c3 in one fell swoop. When George W. Bush signed that paper, it made them all government agencies. So, yeah, they can make them lobbyists now. And when they make them lobbyists, you got that National Assembly Law going to be moving in real quick, and that's the reason they're doing it. Yeah, it's the 501c3 thing. A lobbyist is one that's just there, you know, it's a, you know, they got a bunch of people, you know, coming up with reasons for laws, certain laws that we need. People just coming over there, greasing the palms, if you will, of the politicians. Not only do you have to have a good reason, you got to have some money, usually, unless you can really bend someone's ear, you know. I'm half tempted to make this my next newsletter, you know, and entitle it something like 501c3 Offsprings, because this is an offspring to the 501c3. You can't have a bunch of pastors and stuff like that, you know, as lobbyists in the U.S. government halls, and unless they have the okay by the government. And the okay by the government, of course, was March 7th, even though they didn't realize that when they were doing the 501c3 in advance that they were walking themselves into a trap. But they may think, well, okay, finally, we've got a way out now to stop them from, you know, forcing us to keep the 501c3. Because if you try to get rid of the 501c3, they're gonna suck you with $1 million, or well, whatever you've made over the course of the life of the church, you're gonna have to owe back taxes, excise taxes, and penalty taxes, and they'll literally shut you down and sell all your goods, and so it'll just get considerably worse after that. Well, what's the question there, Matt? And then is Bonnie's microphone messed up, or someone's going to have to go instead of her? Or? Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, so Chrissy's going to have to do 13. All right. Well, put it in the text chat there, Matt, and if I can answer it, I will.
Number 13. What has ever been the theme of God's prophets? Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. 1 Peter 1, 9 and 10.
My turn, 14? Okay, 14. Whose spirit inspired their utterances? Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Verse 11 of 1 Peter chapter 1.
All right, Matt, I'll answer your question in a minute. Can you do number 15? Yeah, 15.
In what prophecy did Christ recognize Daniel as a prophet? When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Matthew 24:15.
See, that's one of the things I like about that verse, is that parenthesis. Whoso readeth, let him understand, or let him study up the word, or investigate Daniel's prophecies. Christ was more or less confirming the fact that prophecy is important. If it wasn't, it wouldn't be written down. And that's what amazes me about all these churches. I used to be associate pastor of a church that stated we do not have to read Revelation because we're not going to be here anyway. And I thought, well, then what's that book being? Well, then how come that's in my book? How come it's in my Bible? You know? Anyway, Matt had a question here real quick. It says, I know that the U.S. will declare homosexuality to be okay, and when the pastor preaches against it, he'll be punished. But the Vatican stance on this, do you believe it will change? How will they sell this to their people? The Vatican stance is always, it's kind of, they work the same way as their offspring do, like the mafia. Right? The mafia has always played the part of, like in the front, they've got one legitimate business, and in the back they got the speakeasy kind of a thing. Well, the Vatican does the same thing. They'll always try to play the moral card wherever the political gainsay will be. In other words, like with Clinton. When Clinton was running for office in Arkansas to be governor, he was totally against abortion because the demographics of that state stated the popular vote was anti-abortion, and so he was anti-abortion. But then when he ran for president, there were more states pro-abortion than anti-abortion, so he was pro-abortion when he, in other words, he flipped his ticket when it was convenient for him. And he is schooled by the Jesuits, okay, in Georgetown University. If his actions mean anything, it proves that those who taught him well. And so when they teach him to do those evil acts, they're teaching him to do those things because that's their plans to do anyway. And so, yeah, abortion will eventually be embraced by the Vatican, or not so much abortion, but homosexuality will be embraced by the Vatican when it becomes popular, because they've already been pushing it for so many years. You've got the Vatican is the largest known organized group of homosexual men. It's also the largest known organized group of pedophiles. And it's also the largest known group on planet Earth of men who are dying of AIDS. So whatever they're planning on doing, they better do it quick, because they're not going to be around much longer.
Hey, not only pedophilia and homosexuality, what about what they call it, the oldest job in the world, harlotry Well, we've already got them outside the city limits of the Sin City over there, so that's already becoming legal.
Yeah, I know. The prostitution thing, But yeah, if you just look at the history of the Catholic Church, I did a broadcast and a newsletter on this once about some of the popes, or look at the doctrines of the Catholic Church. If you go back 2,000 years, you would think there's no way that they're going to preach this kind of stuff. No one's going to believe it. Even in the infancy of the Catholic Church, there were certain things that they would not put out in the open. Even though the guys running the church, they're not even Christian to begin with, know this. They know that what they're doing has to be done in a stealthy manner. Just like, for example, since the majority of the men in the Roman Catholic Church, even it was prophecy even states that in Daniel 11, verse 37, that the men controlled by the beast are going to have a problem with sexuality, the homosexuality thing, and it's later confirmed, I believe it's in Romans, where it talks about the recompense of their evil when they worship the creature more than the creator. And for that reason, their men lust towards men and the women lust towards women. And so Daniel prophesies it to happen, and then Romans explains why it happened. I think it's in Romans. It could be in Corinthians too, though. But the thing is, you would think some of the things that the Catholic Church pushed forward as doctrine would have been, whoa, you've got to be kidding me kind of things. Homosexual is not going to be any different, especially since the majority of these men are embracing it anyway. They're going to. This is why you get these strange concerts in these, like the NAMBLA, National Association of Man-Boy Love, the National Man-Boy Love Association. They are holding concerts all around the world, and they did the most recent one that I put in one of my things online was they had a concert in Canada, and they had the president of NAMBLA make a statement at the end of the concert, and he got the most applause. And he was a hardcore, twice convicted and released pedophile. Trying to push the idea that if a child is 6 years old and he loves the man, it's okay, as long as the child agrees. And so look at the altar boys. This is the reason the Catholic Church has the altar. They're the ones that started all this garbage. This is where AIDS began. I mean, it's just like with Typhoid Mary. If you want to find out where typhoid came from, the doctors just backtracked the disease to see where it was concentrated. Well, you do the same thing with AIDS, any disease. If you backtrack the AIDS virus, you'll find that the majority of Roman Catholic priests are dying of AIDS, and outshines any, and I've got the documentation on the website, 11 times greater than anybody else in the other groups in the USA. 11 times! And so that right there lets you know that since there's so much homosexuality ensconced in this church, it'll be interesting to see how they do it, how they actually get it acceptable, And it could take a few years, or it could be stopped in its tracks. It could be boiling to that point, yeah. And then like Sodom and Gomorrah, stopped dead in its tracks. Because I wonder if the Lord Jesus Christ is going to, if that's going to be, it's not going to, of course, the son-in-law is the problem that our Lord has most of all is when they put that little gauntlet down. But where they're going to be at with this homosexuality issue by the time of the son-in-law remains to be seen. So I don't doubt that this is what they're pushing towards because of the fact that they are in a majority, they are pushing laws behind. I mean, ever since the Massachusetts thing and, each state, I was just reading about something the other day in Florida, 250 lawsuits in one county from Roman Catholic priests, and they're all saying that this is a small thing. There's hundreds of thousands of people suing this church. This is why they've got to push this forward so they can throw all these lawsuits out. They're going to go belly up if they don't. They're trying their best to drag these things to the courts, and they can't do it much longer. Anyway, who's next? And what number are we on? Because I kind of rambled. We don't have that many left. This was a short study this week. Number 16, and it's Mixed Girl's turn. Well, she could have stepped away for a moment. Hold on a second here. I got a problem with. Is she there? Okay. Whoever wants to go next, go ahead. Number 16. Oh, okay. She's back.
To what time were the prophets of Daniel as a whole to be sealed? But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro. And knowledge shall be increased. Daniel 12:4.
Got to be one of my favorite prophecies in my book, People Get Ready. Not only has the knowledge of scriptures increased, thanks to this book being unsealed, and we have a better understanding of Revelation thanks to this book as well, because a lot of those parallels are right there. But look at technology. Right after 1844, right around that time, technology just went gonzo. And it's not just, you know, with computers and stuff like that. And yes, man is always conceited when he stands in his own technology and he sees that he's done so many great, wonderful things. But Dick and Elaine, which I wish was in here tonight, he's got this book, and I want to get the title of this book that he has, where he showed the technology of the ancients was far superior to our own. They had earthquake-proof houses. They had forests, handmade forests out of gold and silver. The craftsmen would make these forests to let, like an advertisement. In other words, what would you like for me to make for you? I can make anything in the world. And for proof, there's a forest right here. It's a small forest, maybe an acre, and it's all everything from the leaves on the ground to the little twigs, to little squirrels, little newts, little whatever runs in a forest, even earthworms, were all made out of the gold or the silver. The reason they're all missing is because the Spaniards came, found these things, melted them down, and made some money. And there was all sorts of these other things, too. It's, for example, Tyrannosaurus rex recently has been proven to have been genetically engineered. That's right. Your eyebrows just shot up clean off your head. Tyrannosaurus rex was genetically engineered. Why, you know, that always made sense to me when I found that out, because of the fact that why are his arms so stumpy? Where's the sense in this? It looks like a defect. You know, they messed up. I know, they genetically engineered them to do something, because man walked with dinosaur, and they did things with these animals, like for helping them make crops or build houses or, you know, whatever the case may be. And they were genetically engineering them. And so, I mean, so if they could do that stuff without computers, I mean, that was one of the worst things that our generation had to deal with. Not so much the computers, but what led to the computer, the television. You know, the devil has to have that ability, like Sister White saw it in her visions as theaters in people's homes. She didn't know what she was looking at. She just thought it was moving pictures, like a theater in their home. And it's TVs in constantly pumping this garbage in front of your face. You know, it's amazing. It's just like, even with the video games, and the thing that bothers me about the video games is no matter how gentle, like if it's a skateboard game, that Tony Hawk game, when you're setting up the game, because one of my kids got it, and while he's setting up the game, they got all this thrash, heavy metal, demonic, screaming music. The guy, you can't even understand his words. He's just screaming all this hate at you while you're trying to set up the game to pick which player you want to be, you know? And then it goes into regular music. I mean, everywhere you look. So who's next there after Mixed Girl? Yeah, I know. I asked my son, is there a way to get this music off of here? Like, change it? He's going to check it out because it's a new game, so. But, I says, man, that's just awful. Oh, it's my turn? Okay, where's it? 17? Yeah, that also meant knowledge about Christ, too, Chrissy. Knowledge, that's why I said knowledge in the scriptures, knowledge about Christ. You know, we have a better understanding, Daniel 12, but it also has to do with technology, too. Yeah, me too. Definitely. Movies that definitely want to pray after. All right, so no one's, say, who, Mixed Girl went, and so it's either Angie, Bonnie, Carol, Chrissy, Lynn, or Matt. How can it be me?
Okay, number 17. What assurance was given by the angel that these prophecies would be understood in the last days? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. The wise shall understand. Verses 9 and 10.
Isn't it amazing how the wise can't get it, but the simple can? Out of the mouths of babes. You know, because the way, and that's one of the things that always amazes me about the scriptures, and a good preacher, or that's why I used to like listening to Joe Cruz years ago. he can make, or even Jesus, the way he would teach. Better yet, much better example. When Jesus, like when he did the Sermon on the Mount and whatnot, I mean, the way he would explain things, even with the parables and that, if you understand the symbology of the parables, it's just about anybody can understand it, you know, if you have an understanding of the symbols, you know. And I think it's just so wonderful that, because so many people say that, oh, and this is how I was raised, especially being a Catholic, you cannot trust yourself when you're reading the Bible. This is how the Catholic Church teaches their flock. You cannot trust yourself. You have to trust your church, because your church pastor or your priest or whatever has far many more years in that Bible. He is a theologian. He is, that's his job, to study that Bible. And they never do, you know. My dad used to hang with priests. I know, they didn't study their Bibles. If they did, they wouldn't use the language and tell the dirty jokes. They didn't drink the beers and smoke the cigarettes and do all the stuff that they were doing, you know. But the thing is, they tell us that you have to trust them. They're, in other words, that's why I went to the priest that one day when I wrote those, some odd questions down. Why does the Bible say this and then the church says that? I had all these questions. And my pastor said, stop reading the Bible. It's confusing you. That was his answer. Later on in life, I realized, well, right off the bat, I realized, well, okay, the devil's involved here. I got to get out of this church. This man's trying to stop me to read something that my God is telling me to read. And how dare he say that my God cannot write a book that his children could not understand? Who does he think he is saying this kind of thing? And then later on in life, I realized he was saying it because he was confused. He couldn't answer me. He didn't read his Bible, and he didn't know how to answer me. He was politically placed in the church. He wasn't placed there in a calling. He was, you know, well, nobody's placed in a calling in a Catholic church. But the thing is, he couldn't answer me. And so to cover his tracks, because he didn't have any Bible knowledge, he told me to stop reading it. That way, hey, he'll kill two birds with one stone. He'll get off scot-free, and I won't be coming back to bother with more Bible. we're on 18. Yeah, there it is. We're on 18. Well, I can barely hear you. There's something wrong with your mic, girl. But that's the thing. It's not the hidden book of Jesus Christ. It's a revelation. That's what always confuses me. They say, oh, it's you can't understand it. But wait, it's called Revelation. Yeah, Bonnie definitely needs a new mic. Go ahead, Chrissy. I guess you've got the last one.
What is said of those who read, hear, and keep the things contained in this book? Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. Verse 3.
So we got a blessing tonight. Ain't that something? And you know, your God can't lie. That's amazing. We are promised a blessing when we study and readeth the words of this book, of this prophecy. And with that said, if you can get on your knees, let's pray, because Bonnie has to scoot in about 20 minutes, and we want to do a little discussion in regards to the medical missionary. So if you can kneel, please do so. Oh, you're off tonight? Oh, well, I'm already kneeling, so. or should we pray at the end? Well, let's pray now. That way we can close out the recording. All right, bow your hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the scriptures, and we thank you so much for the promises of blessing when we read it. And thank you for revealing to us before it's too late the truth about your son's revelation unto us. We thank you for that, and thank you for helping us get ready. Bless us with the latter rain and everything that we need, Father, so that we can go forth and proclaim, here we are, Lord, send us. Let us do what you would have us do. And we thank you for the strength to do this as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Amen and amen.